Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi welcomes you to our new podcast series. If you'd like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.
That we've been saying now, this is the beginning of the third week of Slichot.
When you think about it.
We started 2 weeks ago tonight, and we've said it each time. In fact, with the possible exception, not possible, with the exception, I would say, of the Yud Gimel Midot, which presumably has been spoken about on several occasions, perhaps this is the maybe most important part of Slichot. We say it every night, though I have to tell you, most of us rush through it. It's towards the end. Anyone have an idea of what I'm talking about? No, not Machnisei Rachamim. Won't say that that's the most important part, though some people might say that it is. It's actually not what I mean. Also, by important, I mean that it's the one of the most ancient parts of the Slichot, going back at least to the time of the Mishnah, and most likely earlier than that into the period of the second Beit Hamikdash. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, excellent. So God is right on the mark. That if you take a look at the right before, we actually say Tachanun. So we say, and the truth is, the previous piyutim of Hashem Aseh Leman Shemecha, or Anenu Hashem Anenu Hashem Anenu Elokeinu Anenu, that's also earlier, but that's not explicit in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Mishana Lavram Avinu Bahar HaMoriyahu Ya'anenu. Mishana Liitzchak Vinok Shenakar Ligabe Mizbeach Hu Ya'anenu. Now, the way that the Mishnah presents it is that in the time, this is in the second parak of Masechet Ta'anit, if you want to look it up, at the time when fasts were being proclaimed because of drought, so at certain points they would add brachot to the Shmona Esra. Okay, without getting into the details of exactly when, you're more than welcome to learn the Mishnayot if you already aren't familiar with them. And there were six brachot that were added to Shmona Esra. And those, actually, there were six additional brachot, but including Goel Yisrael. So that were seven brachot where they added psukim to them. And each of those brachot would end with the following: the Al HaRishona, meaning on Gal Yisrael, the Mishana et Avraham Avinu Bahar HaMoriah, Hu Ya'aneh Etchem, and some Girsaot is Hu Ya'aneh Otanu, V'yishma B'kol Tzakatenu Hayom Hazeh, Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael. And then Al HaShniyahu Omer, Mishana et Avotenu Al Yamsuf. Mishana al Shlishit Omer, Mishana at Yoshua bil Gilgal, al Revi'it Omer, Mishana at Shmuel b'Mitzpah. So they were separated, and they were incorporated into these additional brachot that were being said. And what happened at a certain point in time, without getting into this right now, that these we stopped saying these brachot. But this formulation of Mishana Avram Avinu was taken by the Chachamim who created the Slichot. And in fact, this particular Nusach that we say goes back at least to the time of the Gaonim, where they made a list of them, one after the other, the way that we say it. They added, because there were only seven, and if you noticed, I skipped. I mean, or the Mishnah skipped. It didn't talk about Yitzchak. In other words, basically what the Mishnayot did, or the Paitan did, was add to this list and to create a formulation. Now, I just
you know, when you take a look at it, so the way our formulation is, that it follows the chronological order. We start with Avram Avinu, we go to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to Yosef, Avotenu, An Yamsuf, Moshe, etc., going all the way down. And you go to the last historical person or people are Mordechai and Esther B'Shushan Habira, Hu Ya'aneh, right? And I just recently heard the question asked, recently meaning, you know, was on a, just listening to a download of a sicha from Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, won't talk about who he is right now, but, and he just asked the question, he said, you know, you listen, you look, go down this list, and, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, really? You know, Mishanal Avram Avinu Bahar HaMoriah, right? That's what we're saying, right? The person that, because the one who answered Avraham Avinu and Har Moriah, Hu Ya'aneinu. Anyone, like, are you Avraham? Am I Avraham? Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Avraham. But why should he answer me? You know, go down the list of the tzaddikim. Okay, so those were extraordinary people. We're not extraordinary people. So why should we be answered? And even the last line where the Misha ana l'chol ha-tzadikim v'ha-chasidim v'ha-tmimim v'ha-yisharim hu ya'aneinu. And this is, okay, tzadikim, chasidim, tmimim, people who are pure, yisharim, people who are straightforward. Okay? Why answer? Now, we slip into Aramaic. Rachmana da'ane la'aniye anina. The merciful one, God, who answers the poor, should answer us. Rachmana da'ane l'tvire liba anina. So the one who answers the brokenhearted, so should answer us. Rachmana da'ane l'makichei rucha anina. The one who answers the downtrodden should answer us. Rachmana anena, rachmana chus. The merciful one should answer us. The one who should have mercy on us, etc. So we slip, language-wise, we slip from Hebrew into Aramaic. And he gave an answer. I'm not going to give his answer. I'm going to give a different answer as to why, but what's going on here. Now, in reality, the original tefillah as part of Slichot, if you take a look at the Sidur of Amram Gaon, was in Aramaic. The entire text was in Aramaic. And the parts that perhaps harken back to the Mishnah when Aramaic was no longer the language, because in the time of Rav Amram, the time of the Gaonim, people were still speaking Aramaic. That was the lingua franca. That was the language that everyone was speaking. So the entire tefillah was in Aramaic. Once it no longer, Sfaradim, I believe, still say this tefillah in Aramaic. Ashkenazim, once people didn't understand Aramaic, they shifted back to the original Hebrew. But they left that part in Aramaic. Not quite sure why. Perhaps we'll answer that too. And then I have another question before we begin the answer. Misha anal Avram Avinu Bahar HaMoriah Hu Ya'aneinu. What did God answer on Har HaMoriah? What was Avram's prayer on Har HaMoriah that was answered? Was he praying that there not be an Akedah? And that's what he was answered? It's very unclear. Like, I could understand what the tefillah of Yaakov in Beit El is, because the Torah tells us what the tefillah of Yaakov was in Beit El. But what was the tefillah exactly of Avraham at the Akedah? And to make matters worse, Tosfot, when he discusses this, Tosfot says that
The reason why we said, the Mishnah said, we said it with the bracha of Goel Yisrael, the Redeemer of Israel. So he says, Misha Anala Avraham Lefisha Haya Rishon Lenitzolin Shenitzol Minibrod. Abraham was the first one who had was ever saved, because he was saved from Nimrod. Right? The famous Midrash about Abraham being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, being thrown into the furnace. So he was saved. So that was why we say with regard to Goel Yisrael. But there's a non sequitur. We don't say, Misha Ana La Avram Avinu B'Kivshan Ha'esh Hu Ya'anein. Say, Bahar HaMoriah Hu Ya'anein. Why is Tosfot talking about the fact that Avraham was saved by from Nimrod? What is that? What's the relevance? What's the idea? And I think that perhaps the answer is the following. So we look at these giants. You talk about Abraham, you talk about Yitzchak, Yaakov, go down the list. Right? Including Mordechai, Esther, go down the list, fine. People become giants because of what? And I don't know, because I'm not a giant. Right? But I have a guess. Now, the Gemara in Sukkah says the following. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Amar Yehuda, quoting the Kedidarish Rabbi Yehuda, Latid lavo mevio HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyetzahara v'shochto b'fnei tzadikim u'b'fnei arishaim. So, an eschatological vision, when at the end of days, God will kill the Yetzirah, whatever that means. He'll destroy the Yetzirah. And the tzadikim will see it, the rishaim will see it. Tzadikim nidmelahem kehar gavoa, urishaim nidmelahem kechut ha'sa'ara. So the tzadikim view it as this giant mountain, it was Everest, that's being crumbling in front of them. And the Rishaim see the hair breadth. That's the Yetzirah that's, you know, like ever burn hair on your, like on your arm, gets singed if you get too close to a bonfire, right? So you just see that those hairs just curling up. That's what the Yetzirah looks like as it burns in the eyes of the Rishaim. And the Gemara continues. Halalu bochin v'halalu bochin. Everybody's crying. Rishaim are crying. Tzadikim are crying. Right? It's a tear fest. Tzadikim bochin v'omrim he'eich yecholnu l'chvosh har gavoa kaza. The tzadikim say, how did we ever climb Everest? You just destroyed the Yetzirah, right? That means, but we're tzadikim. We climbed Everest. How did we ever do that? They're crying. We never realized what kind of feet we had. Rishaim bochin. The Rishaim are crying. V'omrim, he'ech lo yacholnu l'chvosh et chut ha'se'ara. The Rishaim are crying and they say, how could we not get past that hair? What was so difficult? We didn't have to climb Everest. We just had to walk over a hair. That wasn't so hard. And we couldn't do it. What's Rabbi Yehuda saying? Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying the Yetzirah that the Rishaim and the Tzadikim are looking at is exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Rishaim, or for all of us, it's not, we don't have to conquer Everest. We have, at any given moment, we have a hairbreadth. We have one step of a journey that we have to take. One step. You take that step, then you have the next journey. The next step, and the next step. But each time, it's one step. It's one hair that builds on the other, the other, the other. Eventually, after a lifetime, it builds into Everest. And the tzadikim look back
at what they've accomplished hairbreadth by hairbreadth by hairbreadth. And that is a har gavoa. And the Rishaim never got past the first hair. We can all be Avrahams at Har HaMoriah if we are willing to be Avraham of Nimrod, of the Kivshan HaEsh, at the beginning. When Tosfot wrote it, Tosfot was writing in the time of the Crusades, when unfortunately there were hundreds, thousands of Jews who took the route of Avraham at the Kivshan HaEsh and were willing to sacrifice themselves al Kiddush Hashem. Throughout history, there have been hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Jews who have been willing to do that. It's an incredible feat. It's a step, the first step of an Avraham. The Akedah is 10 nisyonot later, 10 tests later. But Avraham, Mishana l'Avraham v'har ha-Moriah, Puya'anenu, if we're willing to look at ourselves and be the people at the end. Rachmana da'ane l'makiche rucha anena. Rachmana da'ane l'aniye anina. If you realize, you say, listen, I'm coming, I know who I am and what I am. And I'm really to take that first hair breath. So then you can be the Avram, you can be the Yitzchak, you can be the Yaakov. Not tonight, not tomorrow, but after a lifetime of work, one hair breath at a time. But it starts by recognizing that we are the Aniye, we're the Makiche Ruche, we're the Tvire Liba, we are the people who maybe have a little bit of a broken heart. Little bit of taking our pride away and are willing to look at ourselves for who we are, what we are now, and are willing to make the change.
From all of us at Yeshivat Eretz Tzvi, thank you for listening to our new series. If you would like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.